listening to the U Urban Bible Study Weekly Leaders Training Podcast. The U curriculum is especially created by and for urban and multi-ethnic churches. This podcast is designed to help leaders lead a Bible study using Lifeway's U Urban Bible Study resources. Each week, we examine a biblical passage, review some questions teachers may face, and give a practical teaching tip. I'm Dr. Mark Crosston, General Editor for the U Bible Study, and today I'm joined by Dr. Christina Zimmerman, our Content Editor. Hello, Christina.
Hello, Mark. We are moving right along with this study on the Holy Spirit. Never alone, the Holy Spirit in our lives. And today we're on session 5, Walking with the Spirit. You know, character matters. We know that character is important, but we often have trouble displaying the right kind of character or doing the right things. For believers, though, that gets a little easier, and for most, a lot easier, when we walk in step with the Holy Spirit who is living in us. He works his character in us. Through his presence and power, we're able to have the character of Christ. That's what this session today, Walking in the Spirit, is all about. We are studying today Galatians 5, verses 16 through 25.
All right, so our point for today's lesson is the Holy Spirit leads us to display the fruit of godly character. So what qualities define the Spirit-filled life? The fruit of godly character does. Here's point number one. We put aside fleshly desires. And so we're going to start reading at Galatians 5, verse number 16. I say then, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is against the Spirit, and the Spirit desires what is against the flesh. Those are opposed to each other, so that you don't do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. So there it is, the first thing, put aside fleshly desires. And so our flesh craves certain things, right? Our flesh has its own particular desires. And here it reminds us that there's like a war going on in our lives between the desires of the Spirit and the desires of the flesh. And it is our job as believers who want to walk by the Spirit to not give in to the fleshly desires, but to strengthen the spiritual desires in our lives. This is a challenge for every believer. We all struggle in this way. In Romans chapter 7, the great apostle Paul talked about this. He said, the things that I don't want to do, I end up doing, and what I want to do, I don't do. And he says, there's a war going on inside of me. So if there's a war going on in the life of the great apostle, certainly there's also a war going on in every one of our lives. But you don't have to give in this fight. God has given us the power of the Spirit of God in our lives so that we might not fulfill the works of the flesh. What are you thinking, Christina?
Yeah, I'm thinking that right along those lines, Mark, you know, if you walk in the Spirit, you know, simply what is being said here by Paul is that we will not fulfill the natural desire that we have to lust, you know, the lust of flesh. You know, but some people believe that, you know, walking in the Spirit gives us the license to sin. Now, that's because we have legalistic thoughts that will keep us will try to keep us holy. And if we fail, then, you know, they say, well, that's okay. So legalism means that you are doing those things yourself to keep yourself right or to keep yourself holy. For example, legalism tells you to read the Bible, to pray. And, you know, that's what we should do, practice those spiritual disciplines, but not as an end in themselves. That a person who reads the Bible and prays doesn't mean that they're holy. It's the results of reading the Bible and praying that makes us holy and righteous. So then to walk in the Spirit first means that the Holy Spirit is living in us. We've learned in that. That's a layer of an understanding about the Holy Spirit that we've already studied, that the Spirit lives in us. Then second, it means that we're open and sensitive to the influence of the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is living in us, and we have an open mind to what He is leading us and teaching us. And then the third thing, it means to pattern our life after that which the Holy Spirit is influencing us to do. So those are the three things. We can tell if someone is walking in the Spirit because that person, male or female, will look a lot like Jesus.
All right, so let me just touch on one point in verse number 18 before we move on. And it says, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. And so let me add a thought on that verse to remind us that it's not just a bunch of do's and don'ts, rules and regulations. And so often people just kind of get in these modes of do this and don't do this. And it becomes a chore. The Christian life becomes a chore and a burden when all they think is a bunch of do's and don'ts. And that also, when it becomes do's and don'ts, that's when we become super critical and judgmental of others because they didn't check off our do's and don'ts list. No, it ought not be just do's and don'ts. It ought to be about our living relationship with God, being led by the Holy Spirit and allowing the Holy Spirit to lead us in the right path. So there's a negative way to approach this, do's and don'ts, or there's a positive way to approach this, being led by the Spirit. And when you're led by the Spirit, it's life-giving. It's life-giving and affirming. So remember that. So here, let's get on to the second point. We practice a new lifestyle. I'm going to start reading at verse number 19. And the scripture says, now the works of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, moral impurity, promiscuity, idolatry, sorcery, hatreds, strife, jealousy, outburst of anger, selfish ambitions, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and anything similar. I tell you about these things in advance, as I told you before, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So here we see a lot of things in a list, right? And so some of these words, you might want to have your class look up the definitions so you can see some of the nuanced differences between some of these words that are listed in the text. So that could be helpful in this discussion. So the first group are sexual sins. The second group here are relational sins. The third group are sins in the community. And the fourth group are sins of decadence. Again, you might want to look up these words to see how they're sliced out differently. And so the reason I say this is because often Christians have a tendency to make the sins that aren't on their list the worst sins, huh? So the sins in my life, those are the, we think those must be the little sins. The sins in everybody else's life, often we see as the big sins. No, all unrighteousness is sin. This is not a list where I'm starting with the worst sins and going down to the lesser sins. No, all unrighteousness is sin. And so there might be some people that maybe they're not practicing the sexual sins, but maybe they're practicing the spiritual sins. Maybe they're not practicing the relational sins, but maybe they're practicing the sins of decadence. You get the idea? And so don't be trying to, capitalize and put down the people who practice the sins that maybe they're not the ones that get you down. All unrighteousness is sin. And so, and these are all equal because one sin can send you to hell just as good as another one, right? And so, our reminder and our challenge here is that when the Spirit comes into your life, you ought to begin to practice a new lifestyle. So my life, sometimes miraculously overnight, but most often, inch by inch, day by day, I ought to be getting a little better and knocking some of these sins that used to get me down off of my personal list. Come on. So practicing a new lifestyle. And again, let me just say, this is as you grow in faith. So please don't expect your new converts who are babes in Christ to all of a sudden have everything right on the first Sunday. Come on. It takes time for us to grow in faith. What are you thinking, Christina?
Yes. And you know, Paul did something that was pretty ingenious. Here in the first sentence there, he said, now the works of the flesh are obvious. And he didn't just make that statement and go on to warn them about those things, but he actually was specific about the works of the flesh, you know, what they are. And so that's specificity, I think that's the word I want to use, will help us to know that these, the things that are out there and the things that we need to avoid, and those things which we should show others are not good. So it's not about judging others, but it's about being careful and being warned that these are things that we should stay away from.
All right, and the third section says, we are passionate about the new life. Let me read, starting at verse number 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faith, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Now, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, we must also follow the Spirit. We must not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. So there it is, the last section. We are passionate about the new life. And I like the fact that it says passionate about, because two things. One, you have got to, if you're going to get rid of some things in your life, you have to replace them with something. And so I don't just get rid of stuff and then just have a void or emptiness. No. I got to get rid of them and replace them with something else. And so what am I replacing them with? I'm replacing them with the fruit and works of the Spirit of God. Now, notice something else. Notice that it is fruit of the Spirit, singular, not fruits, plural, but fruit, singular. It's one fruit that is manifest in a number of ways. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, and the rest of that list, right? And so I can't say that I've got love, but I got no joy. I can't say that I have gentleness, but I have no self-control. No. So you probably don't have either one, if you're probably missing both of them if you don't have the other one. And so I ought to have all of these in increasing strength in my life as I continue to grow in Jesus Christ. You know, I can't say, well, you know, that's just I don't have kindness, but that's just the way I am. No, because all of these are the manifestation of the fruit of the Spirit, one Spirit, one fruit, manifest in these many ways in the life of the believer. All right, what are you seeing there, Christina?
Right, you know, I love that. This is a great list, and it's a list that we all should strive for, the fruit of the Spirit. But you know that the works of the flesh that we read earlier, they can seem overwhelming. And sometimes we may become a little discouraged because of that big list there, because they're in us, they're all around us. We see it every day. But remember that the fruit of the Spirit can always conquer the works of the flesh. And our responsibility in these verses is that, well, I guess we should say that the responsibility is not ours, but that of Christ, and that is that he has crucified the flesh. Jesus Christ has crucified the flesh. And that crucified, that word crucified, is an important word there. That means that God has nailed our flesh with all its passions and desires to the cross. So it reminds us that as Jesus died on the cross, then our sins will die on the cross as well, so to speak. So we are to live by the Spirit and keep step with the Spirit.
All right, so this has been a great lesson and very encouraging, I think, for believers, young, and those who have been around the faith for a while. And so you ought to dig into this. So if you're a Bible study teacher, I want you to hold on just for a moment, because Christina is going to give us a powerful teaching tip for today. But I just want to remind each of you that you can get your own copy of the You Bible Study Curriculum at lifeway.com/you, lifeway.com/YOU. It is our urban cultural forward Bible study material. It comes in paper and digital formats. It has a teaching guide in the back of the book and has daily devotional pages so that you can stay in the Word of God every day. It comes with a beautiful leader's pack and aligns with our Bible Studies for Life student and kids curriculum. So there's something for everybody. And so I hope you make sure you get your copy for you and for everybody in your class on today. All right, Christina, come on and give us our teaching tip for today.
Okay, Mark, our teaching tip for today is to assess your spiritual fruit. So teachers, before you teach, take a 3 to 5 minute, 27 question test. There's one found at beresolute.org/SFA. Let me spell that for you. Beresolute, beresolute.org/SFA. Take this test so that you can assess your spiritual fruit. Then use the results of your test to reflect on yourself and to spark a discussion in class with your learners. Make sure that you share this web address with them and encourage them to assess themselves as well. I think this will be a great benefit to you as you're teaching this session.
All right. So thank you all so very much. This has been a great time, a great experience. So you dig into this lesson for this week and join us again for another You Bible Study podcast, because you never know where God will take you.